When I think about my father, he was the very first deity in a long line of many leading to the one that we call Abba, Father, Daddy, today. And I suspect that's the case for most boys, and maybe for girls too, but I am not qualified to speak on that subject. I can speak to you as a boy. For boys, at least, our first experience with a godlike figure was our fathers. My first memory of my father was as an orbiting figure that was more transcendent than he was immanent. My mom was the immanent one. If my mom was Emmanuel, God with us every single waking hour of my life practically, my father was El Shaddai, God Almighty. Nothing was better than his arrival home after work, but nothing was to be more feared if I had misbehaved. Just wait till your father gets home and hears about this, was a refrain that was patented by mothers who bore boys in the late 50s. And from this, I learned about the fear of God, but not really fear. It was more a sense of awe. Awe that this very tall person, who seemed so big, so important, was adored by so many, was my dad at the same time. And yet, as I grew into manhood, or should I say really into adolescence, this same man would become the greatest dorkator I had ever known in my life. Speaking for sons across the world, Mark Twain said it best when he said, "When I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant. I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was amazed at how much the old man had learned in 7 short years." But then he who was and is my dad, I've come to realize over time that I am also residing in him. Some twists and turns are different from each other, but the tree doesn't fall far from the acorn. You see, we spend the first years of our life wanting to be like our fathers. The teen years of our life wanting to be anything but our fathers, and our adult years finding out who our fathers truly were and coming to appreciate and forgive them all at the same time. And out of all of these experiences, our image of God is formed. Less than a perfect image, I acknowledge, on the reflection of the one we call Abba. But it was my father's faith that became my faith. And I suspect that's the case for others out there as well. That we are here today because of our parents, because of their faith, and the faith of those who treated us as parents, whether they were grandparents, aunts, or uncles. From the moment that we were born until the moment we die, and every second, and every minute, and every hour, and every day, and every month, and every year, and every decade, the purpose of life is simply this. God is giving us the time to learn how to love as Daddy loves, as Abba loves. The entire purpose of time itself is to learn what it means to be a truly loving and living human being, not with fear, but with faith and with abundance. But you see, the shape of God's love is forever changing throughout our lives, at least the experiences of that love for us changes. The shape of God's love is never the same year to year, really. If you're a 3, 4, or 5-year-old little boy, the shape of love looks something like this. A 3-year-old comes up and without ever asking or thinking about it, will simply throw his arms around you. He'll offer kisses or he'll try and pull away with tears. He'll hug you, he'll pull at you, he'll tug at you, he'll slobber all over you. Without giving a second thought, a 3-year-old will trust a parent the way we have been asked to trust in God. That is the shape of love when you're a 3-year-old boy. You'll throw yourself out there recklessly, assuming you'll be caught. And then the shape of love begins to change, and you become a little older. And let's say you're in 5th grade now. And with 5th grade friends, Guy Friesen, let's say Jimmy Twyford, Jimmy Hackett, and Bill Chalk, we would take our knives and our BB guns and hike out to the Jacksonville Creek, where we would build forts out of whatever materials we could find. We'd shoot up tin cans and old soda bottles. Just boys, no girls. That was the shape of love when we were fifth graders, and it was all boy. Time passes, and the shape of God's love changes once again. And in ninth grade, when I was 15 years old, falling in love for the first time with Leslie Keeter. She was the daughter of my father's secretary. She was a member of our youth group, our church youth group. And Leslie was having a slumber party at her house. And so I talked my best friend Kent into driving over to Leslie's house with me. Mind you, I wasn't supposed to be driving my dad's VW van at age 15. So I drove it nonetheless after they went to bed over to Kent's. And with Kent, we hatched this ingenious plan to drive the VW van in reverse all the way over to Leslie's house. And then we would drive it in reverse all the way back to Kent's house, because in the late 60s and early 70s, you could actually reverse the mileage on a VW van's odometer by driving it in reverse. Yeah. This was the shape of a boy's love for his first girlfriend in those days. Show your girlfriend how daring you can be. We were so nervous that when we got there, we only stayed for, I think, 10 or 15 minutes, constantly looking around, make sure no adults would be around. And when we went to leave, the van would not start. So Kent and I had to push the van down a slight hill, and we popped the clutch, and we both jumped in and got the van home in the wee hours of the morning while my folks slept peacefully in their bedroom. By the way, my father found out the next day, and I found out about another shape of love. The years pass, and I have my beautiful twin daughters, Hannah and Rachel. The moment they were born was beyond compare or description. It's one of life's greatest, most amazing surprises and miracles that you'll ever, ever have. Exhilarating, it's awesome, and it's terrorizing all at the same time. I went from, aren't they amazing in one nanosecond, to how am I gonna ever pay for college in the next? And this is the amazing shape of God's love when you're your young dad. Life quickly changes again, and you go, or I did at least, through a divorce. And I think my life has ended before it has even begun. And from my father, I experienced nothing but unwavering support, no matter how much it broke his own heart to see his son going through this. When dear friends and family would wonder aloud to me, not out of any meanness, but just out of genuine love and concern that I might be ending my career before I had even begun it, my father would counsel me steadfastly to trust my gut and my faith and not in my fear. And he was right. From my father, I learned that God was real. Not just a subject to be studied, but something that was worth staking your life on. He did this by being totally into God. He talked about God all the time. He thought about God all the time. He studied God. He lived for God. He debated with God. He asked others what they thought about God. He shared his questions about God and his experiences of God. He sinned boldly against God. And in all of this, I saw someone who lived his life based on God as daddy. I love you. From my father, I learned that grace is more important than law, though law is important. Rules, discipline are important. But families and faith communities live on mutual forbearance and forgiveness more than they do on justice and on rights. It's true. From my father, I learned that it's not about always being right, though I do think that a lot. It's also about being kind. It's about being gentle. It's about being gracious. It's about being truthful in a loving way. That's tough, telling the truth in love. And then you can get much farther by leaning on things than by pushing things. Because by leaning on things, what happens is everybody gets moved and they don't even realize it. And they think it's their own idea that they've moved, which is the best thing of all. It feels natural. Now, what feels like a blink of time, God's graciousness puts the woman of my dreams into my life. When I met Dottie, I fell head over heels in love with her. It really was a narcotic experience, man. I felt like I was falling, couldn't touch the ground. It was a little disconcerting. Within 2 days of, 2 weeks, not 2 days, two weeks, it took a little longer than 2 days. Within 2 weeks of dating her, I knew I was going to marry her. And the shape of love inside me changed once again. The years have gone quickly since I married Dottie, and I have discovered that there is a quality of love that has always been there, but was not as pronounced in the beginning as it has become, which is the quality of friendship, where your spouse becomes your best friend, the person that you trust with everything about who you are, the person who will speak truth to you, not always tell you how great you are, sometimes tell you how bad you've been, and hold you to higher standards than you hold yourself to sometimes, who loves you even when she knows everything about you, which mystifies me. And the shape of love changes once again inside of you. And before you know it, your children, well, they've grown, and they've left the nest, and they start to build adult lives of their own now. And life suddenly changes once again. It begins to pick up pace now. It can feel like life is on fast forward and there is no reverse and there is no play button that seems to slow it down. I watch now as my mom and dad and so many others that I know take care of each other as they grow older. The diseases, the incapacities, the cancers, the dementia. The march of time picks up speed, and time is no longer on my side as the Rolling Stones said it would be. The shape of love has moved far past passions now of my youth. The shape of love has moved even past the friendship that had deepened through the decades. You know how you now have the possibility of loving someone who does not remember your name, their face and their heart. They know you, but not in the same way. That too is part of the changing shape of love, isn't it? From the moment we are born until the moment that we die, it is about learning simply how to love the way God loves, which is always changing. So if anyone asks you about what the sermon was about today or what life is all about, tell them this. Tell them this. It's about learning to love the way God loves, which is always changing and yet always remains throughout time. It's kairos, sacredness of time. It trumps chronos, the time we live in, and it's always there. So when God commands us to love in these differing ways throughout our human life cycle, God is commanding us to do something like commanding the fish to swim, or commanding the birds to fly. When God commands us to love as God loves us, God is simply commanding us to be the kind of people that we were first created to be. It's in us. It's who we were. It's the original blessing. It came before the original curse. It's what we return to. So on this Father's Day, I wish my father were here, and I have no doubt that had I sent him a plane ticket, he would have considered it. But since he can't be here today, and since I can't do this in person, he'll have to wait till July 2nd for his hug. But I would like to say this to him, which he will hear later today when he listens to this. I want to say I love you, thank you for being the father in whom I am well pleased. Amen.